Welcome to another podcast episode. Thank you so much for your time and for joining me.
No, thank you for having me.
I am going to shoot over some questions for you. So first of all, if you were to introduce yourself, how would you introduce yourself? What it is that you do, and how long have you been doing this for?
Yeah, it depends who I'm introducing myself to. Quite often, when I speak to my new people that I make friends with, I don't really talk about work anymore. What an interesting thing. As much as it consumes my entire life, but that's the fact of it. It does consume my life. So, because I'm talking to you, and I'm sure that your audience has a good understanding of the world of fitness and strength, my name is Sebastian Oreb, also known as the Australian Strength Coach. I've been in the fitness industry for the last 21 years. I'm a gym owner with that girl over there is one of my partners. That's my little sis-in-law, Dinny J. And we're here at my gym, actually at our gym. So this is called Base Gym, which we opened Base Gyms about 10 years ago now. I've been a personal trainer for the first decade of my career, working for commercial gyms like Fitness First. But then I moved on to what I thought was my lifetime goal, which was owning my own gym. And this opened up a whole bunch of new problems for me, mainly financially. Which I didn't expect. I just thought life would be set after that, and it wasn't the case. And I don't want to say it's a bad business to own a gym, but just for me, the way that I did it, it wasn't working very well. So I closed the gym to public. So if you can see these people behind me, these are our coaches and our athletes. They're not paying to train here. Basically, the reason why I have this is for myself and my athletes and my coaches for content creation. And the way that I run my business, I'm an online coach and an online educator now, and I train all types of people. But the most, I guess, the reason why I'm the most well known these days is I've worked with many athletes at the highest level, such as and including the strongest man in the world, who changed a lot about who I am as a person, how I am seen to the public. So Thor Bjornsson, I met him in 2016. And he asked me to be his coach, and I was very excited by the opportunity. And he asked how I would like to be paid. And I said to him, I would not like to be paid in money. What I would like to do is work with him until I make him number one in the world. And when he does that, we would go into business and sell a program together. And for him, that was a great opportunity because he saw a coach that was that confident that was going to make him number one. But he also saw someone that was going to give him a new business as well. So it was a win-win opportunity for him and absolutely a win-win opportunity for me because getting that opportunity allowed me to showcase my ability as a coach, which I did. We made him 2 years later, World's Strongest Man. And since then, I've been seen as, one of the best strength coaches in the world. And that's pretty much my professional biography. I'm also a father of two beautiful girls, a husband. I've been married for, I don't even know, don't tell my wife, but it's over 15 years, something like that. And I've just got my amazing people around me all the time, the people that work for my gym, which is called, I guess, Strength System, if we were to have a business name. And the way that I run my business isn't that I'm the big boss man. I'm, just one of the workers that helps to continually grow the business. And doing this, I get to meet amazing people like you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
Keep
you're welcome.
going.
Oh, you're
Keep
welcome.
going. So, what advice would you give to someone who is thinking of starting a personal training career, online coaching, but they don't know where to start? Because there's quite a lot of content creation, writing
There is
programs, so much.
so much to unpack here. I would say the first thing, the first piece of advice is that you are in the right industry. Okay. So the first piece of information that I was given when I first wanted to start in this industry was to not start in this industry because there was no money in the industry. So that put me off from beginning even earlier than where I when I actually began, because of course I wanted to be successful. I always knew that eventually one day when I grow up, I want to have a good income. And when I was told that fitness industry wasn't the place to do that, I went and searched elsewhere for my my career that I never found anything that I liked or was good at. And so I kind of by default came back into the fitness industry as an interim job, thinking, you know, one day I'll find my real job in the real world. And then I kind of understood, well, actually, I made my wife pregnant. And when we had a kid on the way, I thought, holy, I need to make sure that I can provide now. So I've got to really take this seriously. And I was too far in the fitness industry to change industries. And I was making decent money as a personal trainer. And I thought, I can't change industries now. So what am I going to do? So that's when I really buckled down and educated myself. I still didn't know where I wanted to be or how I was going to progress in my career because I didn't really know where to look, you know, for guidance. Or I just thought that my dream job was going to be now if I open my own gym. That's the only way that I can scale this business, you know. And so I didn't really – I don't want to blame other people for not giving me guidance, you know, but there was no real social media. Then there were no real amazing coaches to look up to for their business models. And this is a large part of the reason why I have now chosen to become a business mentor for a lot of personal trainers around the world so that I can teach people exactly how to not make the mistakes that I've made in my industry. So some of the pieces of advice, firstly, you're in an amazing industry. Secondly, I don't know anyone that's made $1 million without working their butt off for it. Okay, so that's the next piece of advice that I give people. Some people need to know that it's a great industry and there is a career in it. Other people need to be held back and be told you need to actually work to make the money. It's not just going to be handed to you either. Okay, so that's the next piece of advice. And, you know, there's so many different demographics of people. And I think that the next piece of advice is to make sure you're passionate about the people that you work with. You know, like for me, for example, I'm a strength coach. I was always told, you know, make sure, like by my mentors, you may have heard of Charles Poliquin. I'm sure you have. Charles Poliquin always said, make sure you're servicing fat loss. And if you're not, you're missing out on a large amount of money. Actually, I didn't take that advice. And that's because I wasn't interested in fat loss. I was interested in making people strong. And I stuck to my guns and I went as far as I could with strength, with myself. My goal wasn't really, you know, finance driven. It was more, I wanted to be the strongest powerlifter that I could be. And I wanted to be the best coach that I could be. And then, so this is the next piece of advice, is to actually be good at what you do, right? So then as a result of being a great powerlifter and being a great strength coach, that's when I was able to market a very successful business, kind of not the other way around, which a lot of people are trying to take that shortcut and say, day one in the fitness industry, I want to be an online coach because online coaching seems like a really glamorous position and an easy way to make a living without doing any work. So I don't think that's the right way of doing it. So yeah, there's my piece of advice. It's a great industry as long as you do the work and make sure that you love what you do.
Have you ever had a mentor? Have you, I mean, you said you didn't have many people to learn from, but how did you learn? Were you reading books? Were you doing different courses? Were you doing seminars online or face-to-face? Where did you learn most of
such a great question. So when it comes to mentors, I guess, you know, the first mentors that I had were personal trainers in my own gym. The first mentor that I had was a man named Jeff White. He was a professional strength coach. He coached a team called the South African Blue Bulls, which is a rugby team in South Africa, obviously. And I didn't know there was such a role as a strength coach, but when I heard this man had that title in my gym, I was intrigued and I employed him. And I paid him whatever he asked, which was a very high, it was double the amount that I was charging. And he opened my eyes to strength training. Before strength training, I was training Arnold Schwarzenegger style, and I didn't think that there was any other style. Well, I wasn't open to any other style because I thought Arnold Schwarzenegger was the best, so why would I want to learn from anybody else? And so this was my first mentor, and he pointed me in the direction of other amazing mentors, such as Charles Poliquin, who I spent a lot of time and money being educated by him firsthand, face-to-face and online, with his a lot of his courses, but also with private tuition as well by him. Spent a lot of money with this man. He's sadly passed away. Since then, my next biggest, most influential mentor was a man by the name of Ernie Lillibridge Sr. and his son, Eric Lillibridge. So Eric Lillibridge, I originally sponsored him. He was the world record holding powerlifter in the 140 kilogram weight class. And I sponsored him to come to Australia for a world championship competition. And we were going to run a seminar. And by coincidence, he brought his father along, which is his coach. And the nature of the relationship, he was with us for 2 weeks and I was looking after them, driving them around. And because the father was, you know, he had respect for his dad would sit in the front seat and he and I would just talk the whole time, every day, for 2 weeks straight. Whenever we drive anywhere, him and I talking. When we're in the gym, him and I talking. And I learned so much about human potential. Just to paint a bit of a picture, he coached his son to squat 480 kilograms. This is in the 140 kilogram weight class. Like this is he set the path for most of the world. Like this is weights that not many people can do. At the time, no one in his weight class could do. And he was a true pioneer and he opened my eyes to strength potential at the absolute highest level. And if it weren't for meeting this man, I wouldn't know how to approach working with other people who I've worked with to achieve titles such as the world's strongest man. And these guys taught me so much about, not just about human potential, of course, but how the rules change. You know, the program and the methods that got you from beginner to intermediate aren't going to be the methods that take you from intermediate to advanced and are definitely not going to be the methods that take you from advanced to elite. And through working with guys like this, you know, I was able to achieve great accolades in strength coaching. Now, here's the thing. Strength coaching, you know, to be the strongest man in the world, you think about it, compare it to other sports. Who's the best basketballer in the world? You know, I'm sure there's a long debate, but let's just talk about Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan is untouchable. I would never, maybe I'd meet him one day. I don't know. But I'd get a photograph with him. Who's the best footballer in the world? Is it Ronaldo or Messi? I say Ronaldo. I'm sure there's people that will debate with that as well. But it's like these people are paid, you know, I'd say they're billionaires. Like Michael Jordan's a billionaire. Ronaldo's a billionaire. The strongest man in the world to win their competitions, it's like 100,000 US. Like I'm not going to talk about how much money Thor's worth. He's very successful, of course, because he's worked that way. But it's not because he's been paid by any strongman organization a large sum of money. Like it would have been if he was a footballer or an NBA player or one of these elite sports. So unfortunately for the world of strength, it's not hugely funded and it's a very small community. And, you know, when you get to work with some of the highest level athletes, like you get to rub shoulders with some of the greatest lifters and coaches of all time in our sport. And that's a really nice advantage to my industry. The industry that I'm in of strength is, it's if I was in basketball, it's like saying I get to hang out with Michael Jordan and LeBron James and all of these guys. Like that's what I get to do in my sport. Like that's what these guys are to me. Next month, I'm traveling to Iceland to go and live with Thor Bjornsson to coach him for his next major competition. You know, if this was another sport, it would just be, oh my God, this is rock star status. But to be honest with you, that's how I feel. I feel like I am a rock star when I'm hanging out with these people because it's my passion. It's what I love to do. You know, and this is, you know, I'd say Thor's not my mentor, but he kind of is. He teaches me a lot about human potential. You know, the things that I'm working with Thor Bjornsson, people don't know. I don't know yet. Like he's achieving levels of strength that are unknown. And, you know, now it's like, what a great opportunity. I get to be a pioneer now because, you know, our next feat of strength, he's the world record holding deadlifter, which is 501 kilograms. Because of COVID, that record that he achieved was very controversial because it wasn't able to be done in competition. But his next challenge is to do that in competition, which ideally that's going to be this year. You know, so we're going to be pushing that number up again, which is going to be achieving a number that no one on the planet has achieved before, which is a really exciting position for me to be in. So this is where I say, although I'm his coach, he also is a mentor to me. I look up to him greatly as an educator on life and human potential. So, you know, I do have so many mentors in my life for a different type of reason to the mentorship that I like to provide for a lot of the personal trainers that I work with. However, I do think that for the first decade of my career, I don't know if it was that I wasn't interested in looking for a mentor or I just didn't know it was there, but it's something that I absolutely recommend for everyone that's starting out in the industry. So you did ask what's some advice that I would give to upcoming coaches, and that would be to seek advice or seek help from a mentor. You know, the amount of knowledge that I learned from learning about, you know, like strength from Ernie Lillibridge Sr. accelerated my development as an athlete and as a coach more than double the speed. I would never have achieved the heights that I've achieved now without working with someone who had done it before. You know, had I guessed how to do it, I would have never have gotten here without learning from someone who had done it firsthand. So these are the types of things that I try and teach people. And I don't claim to know everything, but I do know how to do a lot of great things. And those are the things that I teach the people that I work with. So I hope that answered your question about my mentors. There's a lot of them.
Absolutely did. It is very important. I remember when I first started working with Mark, I was also, I would say, a bit hesitant, you know, paying someone else to coach you, telling me what to do. But then I also just opened my mind. And then me opening my mind and working with Mark opened a lot of opportunities and a lot of doors for me. And I also learned a lot. So I would not be where I am today if I didn't invest in him and invest in a mentor. Sure. And work with a mentor. How would you, so what is your thought process when someone comes to you and says, let's say, let's take me for an example, and I say, I want to compete in powerlifting next year.
Yeah.
What are the questions that you would ask me? Like, where do we start? Like, what's your kind of thought process? Because it is a process and it's sometimes a very slow process. It might take us 6 months to get there. It might take us 12 months to get there. Again, it depends on my goals. But what would be your thought process behind programming, nutrition, recovery, sleep, supplements, everything?
For sure, for sure. All of those things that you've mentioned, there's a huge part of it. Programming is one thing. Recovery, nutrition, supplements. Of course, that's huge factors with powerlifting. Now, here's the thing. How good do you want to be, right? Now, you can't be a great powerlifter in a very small amount of time. You can't be really good at anything in a small amount of time. Something that I teach people is it takes 10 years to become an overnight success, right? Actually, I've heard one man say a little bit better than me. He said it takes 17 years and 114 days to become an overnight success. And the man that said that was Lionel Messi, right? Now, he's more successful than me, so he wins, okay? So, when you say, you know, what's the process? How long would it take and all these things? Well, it's going to take 10 years to be incredible. But I don't think you should wait that long to start doing it, right? You don't have to be incredible to start, but you have to start to be incredible, right? So that's the fact of it. So actually, one challenge that I was given not long ago by a YouTuber by the name of Matt Diavella. He's he's not in our industry. He's a YouTuber. He's a very successful videographer and editor. And he approached me and said he wanted to do a challenge for YouTube, 100 days to train for a powerlifting competition. And my first thought was, that's nowhere near as long enough, as long as you need. But sure, let's see how far you can go. And anyway, this guy shocked me with his results. He was a 75 kilogram male. I don't want to say an athlete. Like he was, and I don't mean that in a bad way, that he was not an athlete. He was just a general person. He goes by the title, he's a minimalist, right? Whatever that means to you. But he's not an athlete by any means. And he was very beginner with the way that he trained. He did a little bit of bodybuilding in his spare time. And we trained him to achieve numbers that took me like 10 years to achieve. So 75 kilo body weight, he squatted double body weight within that 3.5 month time. Double body weight took me 8 years to do as an industry professional. He also deadlifted 2.5 times body weight. So he got 200 kilogram deadlift at 75 kilos body weight. That's almost triple body weight. Like that number, 200 kilograms, took me more than, like it took me a decade to achieve that. And it's like, we got this in 3 months. How do we do that? And this is what I talk about with with employing a mentor in any part of your life. I'm not just doing this to advertise my services. Like, if you want to learn how to do something, you learn from someone who's done it before. That way you wipe out all the mistakes and you don't have to make those mistakes. You're learning from someone else's mistakes. And we were able to achieve. So I say, when you do that, you can learn in half the time. Half the time, he learned in like 1/20th the time that it took me. So when you say, what are the considerations that we need to make? Well, the considerations that we need to make is what is the overall goal? You know, are the goals to be a world champion? Then I'm going to teach you, let's get started with a basic competition. There's no rush to do that. So maybe, I don't know, 6 months, you'll be really proud of yourself if we train really intelligently, gradually progress. This is the way that we don't rush the process. So I will say, training Matt Diavela for 100 days, he tore his pec in the process because it was like, we want the best result in this much time. We wanted that result, you know? And that comes with risk. So, you know, like if you came to me as a beginner and said, I wanted to do a powerlifting competition, I'd say, sure, let's see how you go in about 6 months' time. I think that's a decent amount where you can really prepare and really set a great number that you'll be really, really proud of. But by no means are you going to be a world champion that time. You're going to be a world champion 10 years, maybe, if you stick it out for that long. If you stick it out for that long, and if you do everything else right, which is, as you mentioned, the nutrition, the recovery, okay? You know, the supplementation part of it, it depends which path you want to go down. Unfortunately, with strength sports, there's two main categories when it comes to supplementation, and that is tested and untested federations. If you came to me, I would absolutely say, do the tested federations, do not take drugs. That's not what I'm about. That's not what I'm going to recommend at all. Do the healthy thing. Because unfortunately, this is a large part of strength world and people wanting really, really quick success. This is when people turn to drugs, turn to things like performance enhancements and steroids, which are really not healthy. And people need to really learn about that topic. And unfortunately, I think a lot of young kids that look up to really, really high level athletes, and they think, I want to be there now. It's kind of like it's unfortunately what a lot of people do, but it's not the best way of doing it. So anyway, that's a topic for another discussion altogether. But my process for teaching someone how to be a powerlifter is to gradually do it. I think from 0 to 6 months, I think that's a decent start to say, we can make you really proud of yourself in that time. You're going to achieve great results. Setting a time like that is good for not to break a world record, but to teach you what it feels like to lift in front of an audience and to lift in front of a judge and to follow and to be part of a competition. This is the healthy way of doing it. And this is a way that you can learn so much about yourself. And I encourage so many people, and a lot of people have this view of powerlifting that, I guess weights make you bulky or powerlifters are out of shape or whatever that might be. And I know that a lot of the best powerlifters in the world these days have really shifted the body image of the best powerlifters, because nowadays the best powerlifters are lean and they look amazing. And this is something that a lot of people should be looking up to now, not just this big, hairy, tatted up image that a lot of people in the past would have associated with powerlifting. So, when you do it right, powerlifting should be a healthy way to train, and it should be a healthy addition to your life. And that's how it should be done. Unfortunately, when it comes to extremes in anything is unhealthy, whether it's powerlifting or bodybuilding, okay, or anything, taking it to the highest level. Unfortunately, health can take a back seat when that happens. So my recommendation for anyone starting out is to not let that happen, to not let that happen. To never forget your health, okay, and never forget the reason why we're doing this in the first place. The reason why we are choosing, a gym setting to train is to improve our health, and that needs to always be at the forefront. And that's the fact of it. If you want to actually be good, health should be a large component of your priorities, because you know, if you're unwell, that's going to slow you down with your progression. It's going to stop how long you can actually do it for. To stick to it for 10 years, you absolutely need to factor in health, joint health, okay, mental health, you know, and physiological health as well. So those are there's so much to open up with that. But if you're to ask my opinion on, do I think, Sebastian, do you think I should do a powerlifting competition? My answer is yes. I think everyone should. Everyone would benefit. You don't have to break a world record to do it. You don't have to be big, fat, and hairy and tattooed to do it. And I think that it's a really amazing way to challenge yourself. The reason why I got into it is because I was training with weights using the squat, bench press, and deadlift anyway. So most people that do train in a gym setting, you don't have to be a powerlifter to use those barbell exercises. They're the best exercises that we can use in the gym. So then all of a sudden they tell us there's a sport called powerlifting where you test those exact movements. It's like, oh, well, I'm doing them anyway. So sure, let's do it. So back to that question again. Do you think I should do it? The answer is yes, you should.
Yes, absolutely. So for me, bodybuilding versus powerlifting, I prefer training for strength. And with my experience, I think training bodybuilding style has just given me body image issues, a little bit more negative things than positive things. So what would you say to someone who is considering changing from training for bodybuilding to training for performance, powerlifting, getting as humanly strong as they possibly can? What would you say if I was to ask you? I'm just going to use myself as an example. I've competed, but now I want to focus more on strength. Where do I start? What should we do?
Yeah. You know, I love the comparison, because bodybuilding, you know, and bikini modeling and fitness modeling, you know, like, think of the word fitness model. That is unhealthy. Or it can, I shouldn't say it's unhealthy. It can be unhealthy, especially if it comes with body image issues, as well as, you know, complications with food. You know, like, these are the common negatives to something that's supposed to be healthy. You know, and it's like, I'm not saying that strength is better than, you know, bodybuilding or vice versa. I'm just saying that's the extremes. Anything taken to the extreme is not healthy. Okay. So if you were to come from, you know, one sport that caused negative body image issues or disordered eating or something like that, I'm not saying that that's what you had. I'm just saying if anyone came from a sport that caused these things, I would be mindful of it coming into powerlifting. Okay, because that could go in the exact opposite direction, where people say, and this is the problem with the fat loss industry. Okay, this is my biggest problem with the fat loss industry, is it's statistically very unsuccessful. Okay, the amount of, you know, the before and after photos that we see, they look incredible. But it'll be really interesting to get those before and after photos and see where those people are now, you know, if they're still where that after photograph was. And it's usually, the answer is no. And the reason is because the after, the picture that they're using in the after photo, is not a sustainable way of living. You know, the after might be, you know, them in a bodybuilding competition on stage at a very low body fat percentage. That's like, being too lean is not healthy. You need some fat to live for your body function. You need some fat. So being too lean is not healthy. But that's the problem, is people go from, oh, I'm sick of being too lean and dieting and all that stuff, I want to choose a sport where I don't have to do that. And then unfortunately, that can force them in the other direction. You know, so something that I teach a lot of people that I'm working with is to not put on too much weight. Okay. A little bit of weight gain, very slow amount of weight gain, that can be healthy. That can be really great. That shows, you know, something that I talk about with gaining weight, or if your goal is gaining muscle, something that I talk about is 0.5% of body weight per week, whether it's fat loss or muscle gain, in either direction. I kind of teach, if you're doing more than that, you're going too fast. Okay, so if you're 100 kilograms, which you're not, I'm just using that easy number 100. If you're going 100 kilograms to go up half a kilogram each week, you know, that's okay. Like, that's not guaranteeing that you're only putting on muscle mass, but I guarantee you if it's more than half a kilo a week, it's definitely not just muscle mass, right? So you don't want to go down the path of putting on too much body weight for the sake of, you know, eat big, lift big mentality. Okay, so this is where it does become a problem, where I do see people making a shift away from bodybuilding into powerlifting, and then all of a sudden they get fat, you know, because they're sick of, you know, eating disorders. And it's like, you haven't fixed your eating disorder. You know what I mean? Like, what you're doing now is not healthier than what you were doing before. That, you know, so this is something that I quite often encourage, especially if someone was making the transition from an aesthetics-focused sport to a strength-focused sport, is I try and teach them, have a look at the best athletes. Go and have a look at the best athletes in their weight classes. You know, and have a look at their bodies. Like, they're not fat for a reason. It's because they focus on athleticism. They focus on the main tissue that's responsible for shifting loads is muscle, not fat, right? Not saying fat is bad. You need some fat, okay? And actually being heavier as a powerlifter can allow you to lift heavier weight. It absolutely can. But you're going to be competing up against other people that have higher amounts of body weight. And the ones that are doing it right, their higher amounts of body weight is usually muscle mass. And that's what you want, okay? So everything slowly. Don't rush anything. This is the advice that I have for everyone. Don't rush anything. You know, it's a saying, I forget the person where the quote came from. Slowly is the fastest way to get you to where you want to be, right? And, you know, and I couldn't agree with this more, especially when it comes to strength gain. It seems like it's such a slow thing and it's hard to achieve. It is. Anything good is. Okay, same with business, money. No matter what it is, if you want to achieve the highest levels of anything, you need to work your butt off and do it for a long time, and it's slow. And there's a reason why not a lot of people are doing it, and that's because it's hard, right? But it doesn't mean you can't do it, you know? And, you know, so these are the things that I try and teach people. And I'll use myself as an example. I haven't been a competitive powerlifter for a few years. I ended up being number one in my weight class, and I achieved my proudest lift that I achieved was an Australian squat record, which was 375 kilograms in the 110 kilogram class. Now, the reason I was proud of that is because 5 years before that, I remember seeing a lifter in Australia by the name of Nathan Jones squatting 370 kilograms. And I watched it and I remember thinking, damn it, this guy's ruined it for all of us. Like, why am I bothering? I can't compete for this. Like, I know that I'm like, squatting was my favorite lift. And at the time, I think my squat was about, like, I'd just done my first 300 kilogram squat or something like that, which I thought I'm really strong. And then when you see this guy come along with a 370, it's like, oh man, I thought I was good, but I'm not. Right. And it was a real kick up the butt for me. But I didn't stop working. And I kept on going, and I didn't actually think that I was working for that. It would have been a nice story if I thought, you know what, I'm going to get that number. I didn't think I was going to get that number, but I didn't think I was going to stop either. And I just thought, okay, I'm just going to see how high I can get. I don't think it's going to be there. Actually, you know, another person who's largely to thank for me to actually achieving that is my mentor, Ernie Lillibridge Sr. He's someone who allowed me to really fast track my progression in that lift in particular. That's what his expertise was. And, you know, and through spending time in the game, doing it slowly. Slowly is the fastest way to get you to where you want to be. All of a sudden, I remember when I was, in the vicinity of that 370-kilogram record, you know, and I remember thinking to myself, I can do this. Like, what the hell? You know, not in my wildest dreams. You know, 10 years ago, if you said to me, you're going to do this one day, I would have thought, no way. Absolutely no way. It's physically impossible. But these are my little life lessons. It would have been really inspiring if I said to you, I knew I was going to get it and I didn't stop until I got it and I got it and there's a life lesson for you. No, I didn't think I was going to get it. But yeah, I didn't stop working. And that's the life lesson.
I love that. So the other day I was doing a Q&A and someone asked me, how do I stay disciplined when it comes to my work and coaching and just doing what I do? So my answer was, I mean, I always think of my upbringing and I love my parents and I love everything about me and my upbringing, but because I come from nothing, no matter how much I achieve, I just always think I can do better, I can do more, I want to progress. I think you will agree with me on this. When you see your potential, then you never stop working towards being the best version of yourself. And I know people might see you have a gym, you have a successful business, everything must, works perfectly your way, which we all know that on social media, we only see, sometimes we only share the highlights, but sometimes we also share the lows. How do you go through the low moments? Because I'm sure that you have them maybe often, maybe not as often, but what do? What keeps you going? Like, what keeps you motivated? What keeps you disciplined?
I've had a lot. I've had a lot of low moments. And actually, I would say in my 20-year career, after 10 years, when I first opened my first gym, that's when I was doing very well before I opened the gym. And then I'll give you the first example. I was earning, as a personal trainer, I was earning $4,000 a week, doing, 40 hours a week at $100 per session. I was making $4,000 per week, which was decent income for me, as a 30-year-old. And then I went to opening my gym, and all of a sudden my bills were $20,000 a month just for my lease. And it's like, okay, I'm not earning enough to pay that. What do I need to do? Right. And so this is where actually I had my first daughter, and I had a mortgage at home, and my wife and I were in the same situation together. We were doing things like to make ends meet, to be able to pay expenses. We were doing things like we weren't buying anything. Like I couldn't afford anything. Parking, paying parking on the street. I remember thinking, for an hour at these places, it's, like anywhere between whatever, let's call it $10. And I remember thinking, maybe I won't stay for an hour because I don't want to spend $10 on parking. Maybe we'll just stay for half an hour, so I only have to spend $5. And it's like those are the little things I remember. My daughter would be, playing with my phone and be like, "Dad, can I buy this app?" And it's like, I can't afford these little things. And I remember, that was just normal to me. I didn't complain or anything like that. I just remember it was really hard. And then it's like, how am I going to pay for these bills? So I started doing seminars, and these seminars were making great money. I'd make, in a day, I'd make $10,000, and it's like, okay, well, my bill's $20,000. So I've got to do another one of those. And it's like, how many seminars can you do? And it's like, it sounds like, oh, wow, look at this guy. You do the maths. It's like, you can figure out how much I'd make in a day. But I promise you, my bills were a lot higher than what my income was. And it was a very, very difficult situation to be in. And a lot of people, especially when I opened my gym, a lot of people, it looked like, I guess it was my fault, because I never complained on social media that I was doing it tough or anything. And I guess it looked like on the outside that I was really killing it, but absolutely I was not. I was struggling a lot. And then during this time when, as I told you, Thor asked me to be his coach, I said yes. I had to travel the world. I didn't have to. I chose to travel the world to go and do it with him. And this was at my expense. And I didn't have the money. I was borrowing money to do these things. And everyone looked at me like, look how much this guy's killing it. And I was in the lowest position in my life financially. And I had children to look after. I had one child to look after. And that's why, if anyone knows, the age difference between my two daughters is 11 years, because I said I can't afford to have another child. I always wanted to ha her to have a sibling. And it took a long time to dig myself out of that hole where social media would have shown you that I own a gym, I work with the strongest man in the world, I'm doing all these amazing things. Oh man, this guy's killing it. So unfortunately, and I don't know whose fault this is, I'm not blaming anyone, but unfortunately, this is part of it, is the more successful you get, the more well-known you get, the more people want to bring you down. And I had a lot of people on social media that used to rant about me during this time and tried to bring down my gym and complain about my gym publicly and doing all these things. And I'm sitting here and I never retaliated ever. And I never would. It's not my style. I never would ever try and bring anyone down. But a lot of people were trying to bring me down at this time. And I'm sitting here going, oh, what am I, like, I've never done anything to these people. I've never even met them and they're talking shit about me. You know, the struggle that I was going through. And what was my motivation to keep on going? I wasn't motivated. I couldn't not. I had fucking family to provide for. I had no choice was my motivation, I guess. So a lot of these things sound like it's a really nice, inspiring story that I had this huge ambition. I didn't have a huge ambition. I had a huge ambition to survive. I had a huge ambition to not let my daughter down and my wife down. You know, and that's, I don't want to call it motivation. I wasn't motivated. I was going through hell. I wasn't motivated. And then, you know, I guess the steps that I took to get me through that position, it all went in the right direction. It all went in the right direction to the point where I was able to afford those things now, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and just claim to be, you know, one of those rich mentors that have all these luxuries and all. That's not me. That's not me. But I can afford my lifestyle. I have another child now. I've given my daughter a sibling, which was my only regret in life that I never gave her a sibling. But she's got a sibling now by accident in COVID. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter how it happened, but it was an accident. I wasn't planning it because I thought we were too far gone, you know, 10 years. She's just going to have to be an only child. It's fine. You know, and then my wife came to me and she said, I'm pregnant. And I thought, I'll tell you what my first thought was. This is the weirdest thing. Damn, I'm strange. I said, my first thought wasn't amazing. We're going to have a baby. My first thought was, I still work. You know what I mean? Like, this is a weird thought process. What a strange guy I am. You know, I wasn't thinking about how beautiful my family is going to be. I was thinking, I work, man. You know what I mean? What a weird way of thinking. But that's me. Hey, I'm just being me, right? You know, and then lucky for me, when we were in that position, actually, we got into the position where we were financially stable, probably actually after Thor Bjornsson won his World's Strongest Man. So when I was working with him in 2016, as I mentioned, I was paying for all of these things and I didn't have the money to pay for it, you know? And my commitment to him was, I'm going to make you the strongest man in the world. And when we do, we're going to go into business together. Anyway, when we went into business together, this was a very big boost for me financially, not just with the products that we had together. Yeah, of course, that helped as well, but also from my reputation, you know, more people were buying my other products, which were things like my education. You know, then I went online and, you know, and more opportunities opened for me. So that was the time that happened. It was just before COVID when financially things started to really change for me. And then COVID came and it's like, well, I'd set myself up in a way that I didn't have to worry about bills or anything. I was in a very lucky position at that time. And that's when a lot of things changed with the way that people ran their businesses. A lot of things turned online. To be honest with you, I think I was a little bit slow to the party with a lot of the online. I know a lot of people that really took off with their online coaching through the COVID period. You know, and I didn't. I kind of didn't really have the resources or understanding on marketing and business and sales that I do now. And so I do think that I was a bit slow to the party. Had I known the things that I do now, I probably would have accelerated the growth of the business, and COVID would have been the catalyst for the acceleration of the business. But actually, it's really only been in the last, I'd say, 12 months that my business is like, you know, I started doing very well and was financially not struggling just before COVID. But then really in the last 12 months, my business, I guess, stopping powerlifting. So I retired from powerlifting a year ago. And that's when I thought, you know, I'm a fanatic with everything that I do. You know, I just don't stop. I just put all my energy into it. And when I wasn't putting all my energy into lifting weights anymore, it's like, what am I going to put my energy into? I'm not the type of person that just sits at home and watches Netflix. So then I just started putting my energy into learning how to develop my business. So since I've put more energy into that, business has been my biggest hobby and my biggest interest. So now that's my next goal, isn't to get the biggest squad or the biggest total. It's to see how big the business can go. Something that I did with my business, my whole business, was when I learned how to squat more weight, I couldn't wait to teach more people how to squat more weight. And that's the type of coach that I became. And now it's like I'm earning more money. It's like I can't wait to teach more people how to make more money. And it's the same thing. And that's all I'm doing, really. I'm just teaching people to do things that I've done in a much shorter time. That's my motivation.
That's the motivation. Thank you so much for sharing that with me and with us, because often we only see the highlights, and not many people would openly express their emotions and feelings. So thank you for sharing that.
Of course. Thank you for asking that question.
The next thing that I wanted to talk about is social media. So how do you use your social media? Because sometimes some of my followers, they message me, they say, "Oh, like how are you so like how can you post all the time? How are you not afraid of posting online? I want to do what you're doing, but I'm afraid of what other people will think of me." And I just said, like, just post, who cares? Just post. The people that will talk negatively about you, they will never sign up for your service, they will never pay for your service, you'll never make any, I mean, make money from them. You know what I mean. So what advice would you give to someone, or how do you use your social media for your business?
So social media, I mean, the advice that I give anyone that I'm mentoring is if you're not using your social media, you're doing it wrong. You need to. Like, this is the way that you market yourself for free. A lot of people before social media, I remember having a discussion with a friend not too long ago who isn't used, doesn't like doing the whole social media. And he's like, "Well, what's another way of doing the social media thing?" And I said, "You can go and knock on everyone's doors in the neighborhood if you want to market your product." And it's like, well, that's in my opinion, that's probably the only other way. And it's like, this is going to allow us to expose ourselves to a much larger audience. Like, that's how I met you. I'm in a different country to you, and it's like, this is the beauty of social media. It allows you to market your product to so many people. I mean, if that's your thing. For me, social media has only ever been about marketing. I've never really used it for, socializing really. Of course, I do socialize on it and I meet a lot of people on it and I make a lot of friends on it and connect with a lot of people that I would have never have connected with if it wasn't for social media. So it is amazing in that way, but it absolutely is majority of the reason why I use it is for business. And I am like you, I do believe in posting frequently for the same reasons. And that's the reason why I'm not scared of not posting. It's like a lot of people say, that they fear posting because they fear what other people are going to think of them and all these things. And that's my exact answer that I give them as well. The people that are going to judge you negatively for your posts weren't going to buy off you anyway. But it's easier said than done. It is. It's hard to have thick skin, and I know you've got thick skin as well. And I remember that from our very first conversation. It's like, I don't care, I'll do it. It's like, oh, that's awesome. It's hard to convince people to not worry about what other people think about them. It is a really difficult thing. But for me, social media, I love and hate it. I love it because without it, I wouldn't have the lifestyle I have. I wouldn't have the business that I've created. I wouldn't have met the friends that I've met. But it's tough. It is tough for many reasons. A lot of people on there don't have, positive behavior towards you. And they might try and bring you down and all of these things. And it's like, this is part of, unfortunately, this is part of success. I'm sure there's other ways of being successful where you don't have to expose yourself to social media as well. But just the way that I know it, if you want to build in our industry, if you want to build your business, especially if you want to do things like going online, like how else are you going to go online if you don't go online? You know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of like you just have to. So social media, the way that I see it is it's compulsory. You should be doing it. And what's the best way of doing it? Well, when I look at the habits of the best people in the world, is they're posting daily. And it's to the point where it's like, okay, well, that seems like it's the obvious solution is to post daily. When I speak to people, it's like, yeah, I use social media for my business. It's like, how often do you post? And if it's like once or twice a week, okay, cool. How's that going for you? Oh, really slowly. It's like, well, the best people post daily, and not just daily either, multiple times daily on multiple separate platforms. You know what I mean? So it's like LinkedIn, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook. What the hell, man? Everything. It doesn't stop. Yeah, and actually, it's hard to do. And now, actually, this is my job. It's social media. It's having my social media presence. As a coach, I've got to coach people, but to grow, that's what I need to be thinking about is what am I going to be posting? I can't just think about today. It's like I've got today's post done and all that. It's like I've got to be proactive and think about, in advance, a week in advance, multiple posts daily across multiple platforms. So I'm very lucky that I'm in a position where I can employ people to help me do these things. And that's the thing. It's like, what about if you don't have, the finance to employ people to do it? Well, you have to do it like I did, which is do it yourself. Like that's how you do it. And it's not a bad thing. Doing it yourself is how you learn the ins and outs of your business. Then hopefully you're going to get to a point where you're too busy to do it yourself. Because when you're too busy to do it yourself, if you're charging the right amount of money, that means you're making enough money to go and employ someone to do it for you. And that's when your business goes, like slowly, slowly up. So then you have the money to reinvest that money. A lot of people are, I'll say the word, tight asses, and they don't want to pay to expand on their businesses. And they say, no, I'll do that money myself. And it's like, if you pay someone to do that, the amount of time you're going to save yourself to do other things as well, it's going to accelerate your growth. And that's how you have to look at it. And that's what I try and encourage everyone that I work with to do is work so hard that you're so busy that you can't do it yourself anymore. And that's a good sign that you can now employ someone else to do it. Okay. And when you employ someone else to do it, that's going to free you up to do the next big thing. And then when that gets so busy, then you just rinse and repeat that process. You employ the next person and the next person and the next person. And then all of a sudden, you're paying so much in income. And this is what I teach people. It's like, I don't complain about paying people's wages because the more wages I make, the more money I make, and that's how it goes. So social media for me, it got to a point where it's now the biggest thing that I focus on actually when it comes to business growth. The biggest thing that I focus on for business growth is how am I going to reach a larger audience? How am I going to build my social media profile? Unfortunately, and this is what I don't like, this is the part that I don't like, it's not always about the information and how valuable the information is. It's about how engaging your content is, and there's a strategy for engagement that a lot of people with maybe far less skills or experience or knowledge are able to, have the intelligence to know how to go viral, for example, on their social media platforms, and that allows them to, climb your audience, increase the size of your audience and your followers a lot larger. And that gives you the opportunity to be able to market to a larger amount of people. And that's how you make money, And it's like, I shouldn't say I don't like it. It sounds like I'm being salty, but it's like, damn it, when I see people doing it, I actually do. I can't help but think, oh, I wish I'd done that. But I do feel happy for the individual that's doing it. This is what you need to be doing. And it's a kick up the butt. Whenever I see people doing it, I don't just say, I'll screw that person, for doing it first. I think I'm going to learn off that person, because I do believe I have a really great talent. I'm not saying that that person might be untalented, but it's like, cool. If they can do it, I know that I can do it. And it's often a kick up the butt for me to go and do better. So that's the fact of it. Social media for my line of work, which is online coaching, is something that you just have to have. What's the alternative? Go knock on the door and try and do yourselves that way.
Create content and post. That's what I always tell everyone. Like, what are you afraid of? Judgment. I mean, you're going to be judged no matter what you do in life. So might as well.
Unfortunately, that's how it goes.
Yeah. Might as well do what you love. And be
It's so
good at
true.
it. Be good at
So
it.
true.
That's the most important thing. Well, I don't want to take too much of your time. So the final question that I have for you, what advice would you give to your younger self? If you can go back, I know it's a bit of a maybe silly question, but if you could go back 10, 15, 20 years in time, what advice would you give to yourself at that time when you were, you're still young, but when you were younger?
I'm definitely not as young as I once was, and there is definitely things that I wish that I knew back then, and that was to do the things like that I've just been mentioning that I was late to the party with, like developing social media. Like I was late to the party with social media as well. The power of social media and understanding, like back when Instagram first came out, like it was a very easy way to build an audience when that first started, and I missed the boat with that. I don't want to say I missed it completely. I still got in a very good time, to build the platform that I've got now, which is working for me really nicely. But doing things, understanding, I guess the best piece of advice would be to teach me before the advice that I was given that the fitness industry was a bad way to make money was the best piece of advice would have been to hear that this is the career for you. This is the career that's going to make you very successful beyond your wildest dreams. But you've just got to put in the work. And when you do put in the work, big, huge things are possible. Huge things are possible. As I said, I've been doing this for 20 years, and I don't want to say, wow, 20 years of being awesome. Hell no. The first 10 years of sucking. You know what I mean? Like I didn't know what I was doing. I thought I was good, and that was my problem. I thought I was better than what I was, which stopped me from learning from other people. And it's called the Dunning-Kruger effect when you think you know more than you do. And this was my problem. So yeah, 20 years experience, amazing, amazing. Now the first 10 years, I sucked. And that's largely to do with the advice that I was given in my early years that it's not a good industry. I didn't think I was going to stay in the industry. I thought it was my interim job, so I didn't take it as seriously. And that's something that I wish I never got that advice in the first place. And I wish I had someone to look up to in my life that had done it before me so that I could see a clear path. It's like, that there is a possibility of having a very, successful, fulfilling career in this industry because, I don't know where I would be without this industry. And I don't think I'd want to be anywhere else. I know I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Look at what you're wearing. Look at what I'm wearing. I don't have a shirt and tie and a rigid suit that I have to go to and report to somebody. Damn, couldn't think of anything worse. But yeah, that's my piece of advice. This is an industry. It's an amazing industry, especially when you love what you're doing. And there is a way of kicking ass. And to kick ass, you need to work hard. And once you do, you'll be rewarded in the end. There's my advice to myself.
And you have to be a little bit delusional and a little bit crazy, because sometimes I look at myself, and you probably look at yourself, and you think, God, to someone else, I would probably seem like a lunatic. Like, you don't have a life. All you do is film and work and post and do all these things. And I'm like, I wouldn't want it any other way. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Being successful is not normal.
It's not
It's not the
normal.
norm. So yes, that's right. So when people say you're not normal, thank you.
Thank you.
No,
Thank you. Because I'm
correct.
not.
I'm not normal. I don't want to be normal.
Don't want to be normal. Oh, I just want to say thank you so much for your time. Thank you for opening up. Thank you for allowing me to ask you all the questions. First podcast together via Zoom. Next one will be in person. So
Love that. Love
I
that.
should book my flights
You can come to Sydney
ASAP.
anytime. This is your
Thank you.
house.
Thank you.
And if I come to Dubai, which I hope to do as well, I'll definitely be coming to
Dubai,
see you.
Croatia, anywhere I am, you're more than welcome to. More than
Amazing.
welcome to.
Amazing. Great
Well,
chatting with you, Anna.
Thank you. And likewise, and I am going to wrap it up here, head over to the gym, finish all of my training that I need to do. And I will speak to you and see you very soon.
Amazing. Speak to you real soon. Speak to you even sooner.